God is gracious in just coming to break our boxes many a times. Because as soon as we try to box in the Lord, I think He will just come through His love and just come and break those boxes. Just want to quickly put this thing on. I will not be taking up the full slot for my sermon this morning because we've spent a lot of time in the Lord's presence, which I believe is sometimes the best sermon to our hearts. Not the word spoken by man, but the word spoken by God. I believe something is still left here in the Spirit, but God will, I'm sure, complete His work this morning in our lives. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm just going to share the word, maybe just cut it down to size, and just share the word that God laid on my heart. God, you use the foolish things of this world to despise the wise. You use the small, inadequate, not so perfect things in this world many a times to show your strength. Here we are, Lord, a couple of very random people sitting in a massive school hall on a couple of chairs on the southernmost point of Africa. And we know that you love us. Lord, we don't have bells and whistles. We don't have lights and smoke screens, Lord. We have just this. We have ourselves to give you. And you love us. You take time out to be with us, Lord. Not because this church is flashy. Not because the people here, that communion is perfect. Just because you're a loving Father that wants to commune with us, wants to share your kingdom, your heart with us. That grace is just amazing. We give our hearts to you. We give our eyes to you. We want to see you today like never before. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your love. And thank you that your kingdom come and will come here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My sermon series is Seek First at the moment. We said to each other, like Jesus said in the gospel, it was actually a bit of a rebuke that the guys of that age, they knew when it's going to rain and when it's going to be a good day, and they knew the seasons pretty well, but he rebuked them and said, you don't know the seasons, the spiritual seasons at all. And so I believe we should just many a times, just check our hearts and make sure that, yes, you can know a lot about the economics. You can know a lot about the weather in South Africa and what's going to happen tomorrow, what's not going to happen. But sometimes we just need to stop and make sure, are we aware of the spiritual seasons we're in? The prophetic season of the body of Christ, not just Shofar Table View, but where are we at the moment? Now, for us specifically, there's just two things that's been standing out in intercession, in our quiet times, and what people have just been dropping, and it's a season of change. So if you're experiencing change in your life, either good or difficult, it's a season of change. I believe God is bringing forth change. But with change, sometimes comes a bit of a cleansing as well. So there's a purification probably happening in many of our hearts as well. That is a constant thing, by the way. Welcome to Christianity 101. It's not just, but there's an emphasis on God just coming to check out our hearts, to cut the dead branches from our trees so that we can bear fruit in relationship with Him. So those are the two things that I just wanted to remind you guys of. So be open if God is challenging you, bringing change, and even if it's tough, lean your ears towards the Lord. Make sure it is Him. And be open to what He's doing. And then in this year, we said to each other, or God said to us at the first Sunday of this year, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And that just, it was a rhema word that came not from myself alone, but from Johan, and chatted to Pietri and Edna. We prayed through it in those first weeks, and we believe that that might be what God is saying to this church and to us as a church family this year. Seek first. So hashtag seek first. That's just our rad marketing campaign for this mega church. No, it's just a thing that God just reminds us throughout the year to check our hearts. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? So, we've spent... Who's heard a sermon on faith this year? Okay, great. Okay, we had about 14 weeks on faith. If you did not hear any message on faith, I guess we should have a chat. Unless you're a visitor, then we don't have to. But so we spend a lot of time on faith. So God is preparing our hearts. He's stirring our faith. And He's also giving us both knowledge and wisdom concerning faith for a reason. So I want to say sometimes just in cases like this, just buckle up and see what the Lord does in your life. But I've decided just to stop a bit with this seek first theme and trust God just to speak to our hearts. Because it's nice to float this thing around and put it on Facebook and put it on WhatsApp, seek first, cool, whatever. Or thinking that that might actually be a rhema word from God in a season saying, hey guys, in love, catch a wake up, seek first the kingdom of God. We don't know what the next season will hold in. We're not going to fear either. But if I tell my daughters, hey, put on a jacket, put on warm clothes, put on a beanie, then I know what the weather's going to be outside. If I tell them, put on a life jacket, put on flippers, we're on a boat, then I know that there might be danger or risk ahead. So maybe God is just saying, hey guys, lean your spiritual ears towards my heart. I want you to be a people full of faith. The season we're going into might need some faith. It's a season of change and a season in which we check our hearts. And it's a season that I'm calling you in as a hen calls a chick, saying, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto you. So, in the most diplomatic, most pastoral way in which I can ever try to say it is, take heed to the voice of the Lord. Not to what Retief says, not to a hashtag itchy itchy, but take heed to the voice of the Lord concerning the seasons to come. And in that light, we've started just with a quick Seek First series. I'm not sure how long it's going to be. I'll be seeking the Lord on that. Last time, we chatted about wisdom. Who wants wisdom in their lives? Amen. It's something that actually was a big instrumental part of me being led to the Lord in my salvation. Was just, I needed wisdom. My life was so screwed up, it was not even funny. I tried everything on my own and it dismally failed. I can spare you the detail this morning. But I desperately cried out to God, say, Lord, I want wisdom and not the wisdom of this world. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy, blessed, considered fortunate, to be admired is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom. Happy, blessed are the man who finds a new Mercedes Benz. No. Shares Rembrandt Andele a nice painting. No. It says, blessed are the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding and insight. It goes on, verse 14, for wisdom's profit is better than the profit of silver. And the gain is better than fine gold. Guys, might sound like an oh look at church thingy to say, but true wisdom of God is better than silver and gold. I can do with silver and gold, make no mistake. You've got spare silver and gold lying around, by all means, do share. But even more than that, I need godly wisdom. What is the only source of wisdom we said to each other? Is God Himself. Now we can have long conversations, and maybe we should still do, have long conversations about what about the wisdom of this world, etc., etc. But the Word of God says that the only wisdom is the wisdom of God. And second to that, we said in Psalm 111:10, it says that the spirit of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. In other words, a reverence, a respect. Having God in its rightful perspective place in my life brings forth wisdom. I'm not going to repeat everything, but I do know that a couple of people miss that, and I just want to make sure that we stir our hearts and daily seek first the wisdom of God. What should we do if we want wisdom? The Word says we should ask. Pretty easy. Who's asked for wisdom today? Anybody? Cool, the four of you. Well done. It's not a, it's again not a religious thing. It's beautiful what George shared. It's Everything should be based in love. Even the challenges we put to one another should be marinated in love. So please hear my heart. May it be marinated in love. James 1:5, before we move on. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Deep, profound statement. Ask God. It's pretty easy. I'm just joking. Who gives generously to the one to with all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Moving on. Seek first. Today's key is just the kingdom. Anybody with a shout, what do you see as the kingdom of God? It's also called, I'm just generic, or just generally looking at it today, you have in the word, it speaks about the kingdom. It speaks about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, this kingdom of God and Christ and the kingdom of God. So there's a lot of definitions. So each one should be valued in its context as well. But we're just generally today looking at the kingdom of God in light of seeking first. Now, just quickly, any shout, any word, what does the kingdom of God entail for you? Love, joy, peace. Amen. Now, she kind of ankle-tapped me there on my message, but we'll chat about that at home. Praise God, she's in the Spirit. Anybody else? What is the kingdom of God for you, George? Godly authority. It's not something you'll often hear in a charismatic church. So praise God for George. Anybody else? Godly authority, yes. Anything else? What is the kingdom of God to you? Yes. The word. Yes, definitely. It either leads or it opens up, brings forth the manifestation of the... There's no right or wrong. I just want to stir our senses and make sure everybody's awake. Yes, Demi. Where the king dominates. Dominate is maybe not the right word. Reigns. Dominate might sound worldly, but in a kingdom in this world, definitely dominate, like dictatorship. It's indeed a form of governance. Anything else? So it's not wrong. It's just saying that's not the way Jesus probably does it. Nature. Kingdom of God, you see that in nature. Yes. Yes, Sandra. Place of peace. Yes. The kingdom of God. Great. Let's move on. We don't have too much time. You can go to the next slide. Please and thank you. Great stuff. There's a couple of ways in which governance happens in this world. Apparently, one thing I googled said there's 196 ways of governance in this world, but I'm not going to go through them all. There's just a couple that we know. A democracy like we have in South Africa, governing by the people or the majority of the people. Who loves democracy? Cool. We're not going to talk politics. It's just the way. Who believes democracy is perfect? Okay, we're not going to talk politics. Anarchy. That is where there is nobody governing. It's just a bit of a mess. Sometimes, before church, in your home, it might feel like anarchy and not kingdom, democracy. Sometimes in my home, like this morning, it felt like a bit of a dictatorship at a moment because of my fault, not my wife's fault. But anyway, praise God for repentance. Hierarchy, government by ranked body in autocracy or government by one individual can either be dictatorship or kingdom, kingship, where one person rules. So we're not going to go into that too deep. You can go to the next slide. Let's look at the word and the definition. No, let's not do that. Let's just see that there might be two problems. If I say kingdom to a Western Christian or Westerner, they might not have the same answer like George had earlier. Not one of liking kingdom authority, not one liking biblical authority. If I say kingdom to you, what do you think? I think Robin Hood, I think Braveheart, I think movies that I've seen. We think kingdom. If I say a king should rule over you, what do you think? What comes up? Joy? Peace? Sorrow? What comes up if I say kingdom? Just no. Albert will pray for you afterward. No, I'm just joking. I know her heart. Yes, but to the flesh, kingdom and the governance by a king or a individual sounds like hell on earth. Not necessarily. Because of the way in which we have maybe been hurt in these areas. So there's two problems for us when God says, I'm sending my son, I'm reestablishing a kingdom, he will be king. To us as the in this world, it might be firstly offensive to the flesh, because we don't like to be governed necessarily. We want to just do our own thing. And then second to death, that if you say kingdom, many a times we think geographically. We think a place or a country or a certain area if we think kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not like that. It is a spiritual place. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Remember this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So those two things that we just need to look out for. When we say seek first the kingdom, we're actually seeking out an unnatural kingdom. A kingdom that is not known to the flesh. It's not a Robin Hood, not a Braveheart, England-type monarchy and kingdom. We're seeking something that we can't see. Who met the kingdom of God this morning in worship? You can't even explain it. You can't say, yeah, in row three, that little, in that area, that was the kingdom of God coming down there. No, it wasn't. It was maybe in the heart of the people. But we're going to get to that. I see a couple of frowns. Hopefully God will just help us out this morning. The Bible says the following. It is basileia. That is what a kingdom is. Properly royalty, that is abstractly rule. Concretely a realm, literally or figuratively. And we're looking at the figurative part, obviously. Kingdom or reign. We said to one another previously, where does the kingdom of God come? Very simply, I believe, where the king's will is done. So if there's an easy way of understanding God's kingdom, we remember it's not a physical place here on earth. It'll be a place where God's will be done, where He has domain, where Christ's domain or will is done. We can spend here, everybody can be wandering off, not connecting with the Lord in worship, staring at the walls, but yet Ralph has an encounter with Jesus Christ. And in this place, physically, the kingdom is not coming, but within his heart, in that moment where he has a vision of Christ, the word permeates his heart, something that the Demi shares or sings, speaks to his spirit, the kingdom has come. So it's a difficult thing, because remember, Israel, the people of God in that day and age of Christ, they were waiting for some great, amazing king that will come and take over the Roman Empire. This huge, amazing governing system to come and take it over and be their king. So they were waiting for this physical kingdom to come and take over the world, yet God shared a bit of a curveball with them and he said, no, my kingdom is not like this world. But we'll step it out as we go on. Let's go back to our scripture. Within context, we said Matthew 6:33 is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Now, we spoke about depression and oppression this morning. We spoke about fear in ministry time. If we remember just quickly, the context of Matthew 6 is, in the Holman's translation, it so beautifully says, and I had to make it my own in the 5 years we lived in Malmesbury. It says, the cure to anxiety. Matthew 6. Just the heading of my Bible, the cure to anxiety. I had to camp there. I had to pull up my caravan and stay there. I couldn't just hop on and just check in and move on to the next scripture. I had, for a season of my life, I had to camp in Matthew 6, because it's all about saying, don't worry about what you will eat, drink, or wear, as the Gentiles worry. No, don't worry about these things. God will provide for you, but, and then it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What brings anxiety and fear in our lives? Many times, we want to survive. And we want to survive pretty good. But what we will eat, what we will drink, and what we will wear, we will stay, what we will drive. Many a times, those are the things that we need to bow down to. We need to bow down to a work and a salary. We need to become anxious if you conform to the world's ways. But God says, no, I've got a cure for all of this. Forget about all of those things. Seek me first. Amplified says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. Who have experienced the manifestation of this scripture in their lives? Not, I can't say permanently, but once or twice or a couple of times. Who's experienced that in their lives? Just put up your hand. It's not a, almost, let's check who's where. But I do believe if God can grace us to overcome this particular hurdle in this world, this day and age, He'll be able to get hold of your heart and He'll steer and lead your life so graciously. But let's move on. I want to speak about what this kingdom is. If I say to Ralph, oh, this whole year we've been just regurgitating and saying, seek first the kingdom, he might just ask me, but what does that mean? What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? I don't know why I've got a yearning for so much interaction this morning, but let me just ask you this. If I tell you, seek first the kingdom, can you put that in words to me? The word. Yes, amen. I'm obviously going to just screw my sermon now because you're going to say everything beforehand. But I just want to see where we're at. If I say, seek first, yeah, amen. How are you going to seek the kingdom? How are you going to seek the kingdom? Obedience at any cost. For Edna, is that seeking the kingdom? Praying, yes. Seek is a word of action. I like that. Seek is a word of action. In other words, doing. Doing. Doing in love. Doing out of conviction. Not doing out of a religious heart, but doing. Anybody else? Living in the will of God. Living in the will of God. Accepting God's authority. Yes. To the flesh, as I said earlier, that might sometimes be offensive to the flesh, but we need to get over ourselves because, quite frankly, we're actually dead. Relationship. Yes, relationship. Amen. Amen. All of those things are right. I believe the kingdom is a place where God's will, God's heart is done. Now, it's so beautiful. I just want to read the following scripture to you that Edna shared this morning. It is kind of the cornerstone to this morning's message. When looking at the definition of the kingdom, we need to go to scripture. And one of them, and please go and read all the others, but one of them are the following. And it's something that really spoke to my heart and has spoken to me in my walk with the Lord. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Why does he say that? Paul says that. We don't want to take anything out of context here, so let's quickly give context. They come out of a system where they were under the law. There was clean and unclean foods. In other words, you could not eat parlemoon, but you can eat kiryef, or whatever the case may be. Not really. That was a joke. But there were certain things that they could eat and other things that they could not eat. And they so desperately tried to adhere to this law, but obviously they couldn't. Jesus said, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So within Christ, the fulfillment of the law came. And accordingly, they were set free from all of these things that I can and cannot eat. Can I eat chicken? Can I eat eggs? Can I eat this? Can I not eat this? So they were constantly trying to obtain their righteousness, amongst other, through the things that they ate. Today we would probably say, you cannot eat Kentucky, you cannot eat McDonald's, but it is fine to eat fruit or vegetables. Or not, apparently for you guys. Jesus came and he abolished that. For us in our mindsets, it might sound so weird. You can eat certain things, you cannot eat certain things. But for them it was quite real. Now, within context, Paul was just saying that those that have the revelation in Christ, that they are free. That Jesus said that it is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's not what you eat or drink that you fail mark me. It is actually what comes out of you that defiles you. Some of the guys in that day and age, the believers caught on to that. They understood it, and so they started to eat everything. They'll eat their crayfish, their kreef, or their parlemoon, and they probably have their coffee with 3 sugars. And they didn't feel bad about it. Yet some of them did not have that liberty or that faith and then still struggled with eating the right stuff. So this is the context. He then comes and says, hey guys, it's not about ticking the boxes. It's not what you eat and drink. That is not what the kingdom is about. It's not trying to jump the hoops. It is about eating and drinking, but it is of the right, but it is one of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is beautiful of this scripture is the Trinity is involved here. When it comes to the kingdom of God, everywhere you look, but especially as well, you see the Trinity at work. Firstly, we've got the kingdom of God. Secondly, we've got righteousness. How do I obtain righteousness, guys? How do I obtain a right standing with God? Jesus, and Jesus alone. So it's a beautiful, again, he speaks to that day and age about eating clean and unclean food, or clean food for them at that stage. He speaks of that. It's not that. It is, it's Jesus Christ. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit is involved, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. You see the Trinity beautifully at work here. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Today, it will be the case of, no, the kingdom of God is not in a church building. This is not, this morning, the kingdom of God, per se. The kingdom of God is not for bloody Pope, Vatican, situated, Rome. Nisa sister, yeah. The kingdom of God is also not in the Vatican in Rome. The kingdom of God is not at the pastor's home either. The kingdom of God is not the way they saw it. The kingdom of God is one of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God comes where God's will is done, where his domain is established, many a times within our hearts. We can have a worship service without God's kingdom coming. We can have a sermon by God, not in this church, hopefully. But we can have a sermon that within that sermon, the kingdom of God never comes. I can have a bumper sticker or a very nice Facebook Christianese post, but the kingdom is not coming through that. It is one that the Holy Spirit leads us into righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's a couple of things that we're quickly going to take out of that scripture. Paul refers to the reign of God, not the realm of God. In this day and age, when we refer to the kingdom of God to come, we refer to God's reign. In other words, God is reigning in that moment. We live in a broken world. Let me explain. We live in a broken world. We have a moment of worship. There's a tug of war for the kingdom of darkness that tries to rule this age, this world. But there's another kingdom, the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of God that wants to come into it. Now God places a word on George's heart. He comes forward and he shares that. In that moment, he believes and has faith that this is God speaking his will through me. In that place, the kingdom is come, has come. God's reign comes through God's word, through his servant, George. Sorry that I'm using you. I'll try somebody else just now. But in that moment, the kingdom comes. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not in the school. It's not connected to a realm or a place. But it is, obviously, God reigning in a moment. Wherever the Holy Spirit brings forth the righteousness, the peace, and the joy, there in that moment or place is where the kingdom of God is being made manifest. When you have a quiet time, when you get into a quiet time, you don't immediately sense the kingdom of God coming, do you? I need to sometimes spend a bit of praying in tongues or time in the Word, worshiping the Lord, and then you just sense the peace in your heart. You sense that there's nothing between you and God. I'm not ashamed. I'm not feeling convicted of any sin. I'm in right standing with the Lord. And hence, a joy comes up. I come out of there refreshed. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Who of you have ever lived without righteousness, peace, and joy? In other words, who's not been saved at a stage of their life? It really sucks. Who in the born-again state has ever had a moment or moments where you do not live with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Everybody. What are we seeing? What are we seeing? It's not a permanent state. It's something that we need to trust the Lord for. It's something that I believe, Dirk mentioned that word, it's something that can relationally, only be relationally obtained. The kingdom of God is not a bum, bum, bum. He's putting down his stakes. He's marking out his ground. He's just taking it as is. It's one that relationally in this world, we constantly need to obtain with the Lord. His word, relationship, prayer, fellowship, whatever it is, God will lead you. God will lead you to do that. The second thing I would just want to highlight is that the kingdom of God will always come where His redemption or salvation comes. If you were to walk in the mall and God just gives a word of knowledge to you, go share it with somebody in the wimpy, they come to a revelation of the Lord, they give their heart to God, they get saved in that moment and start a new life with the Lord, in that moment the kingdom has come. So God's kingdom also comes where redemption or salvation happens. And now this is an important one to remember. Remember we were saying there's a couple of things. And the most importantly is that the kingdom of God is not a physical place on this earth. It's a spiritual dynamic. It comes where the Holy Spirit brings forth manifestation in our lives of righteousness, peace, and joy. That's a place where God's kingdom comes. This is an important point to remember. In the present age, God's kingdom gets partially fulfilled. There you go. God's kingdom gets partially fulfilled. What do I mean with that? He's firstly busy completing what he started. Absolutely. Anybody else? Any idea? Why am I saying it's getting partially fulfilled? We need to partner with him. Absolutely right. Sorry? In this life, we do not have all the answers yet. That's a valid point. God's kingdom gets partially fulfilled on this earth, moment by moment. But one day, with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the fulfillment will come. Why am I saying all of that? Let's look at the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said the following, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In other words, the spirit of the fear of the Lord is there. We see him for who he is. We see you are Lord, I'm your son, I'm your servant, you are God. So immediately the stage is set. My heart is in the right place. Your kingdom come. What is that again? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not one where I physically take over the Roman Empire and lead the Israelites to whatever they were longing for. No, it's a spiritual place. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom at this stage, his rule, his reign, his authority is perfect in heaven. Okay, there's no anarchy. There's even no opposition there. It's a tranquil. I really look forward to that. Not now, but when the time is right. Imagine. Just quickly imagine heaven, guys. Everything clean, pure, holy, loving. No sin, no tear. Anyway, no oppression. I really look forward to it in the right time. So that his fullness of his kingdom has come there. Now Jesus says, our prayers are to be like this. This is the model prayer. This is the heart of the model prayer. Let what is happening over there, let what is happening in your kingdom, in your heavenly kingdom at the moment, let it be made manifest here on earth. Was it a once-off prayer for a once-off thing to happen? No, I believe it's sporadic. It's something that we can do daily. You have a moment here in church where you just know the kingdom has just come. Then this afternoon, quite frankly, you struggle a bit. Tomorrow you go to work and constantly you can go to this prayer and you say, Lord, that which you have in heaven, your true authority, your true reign, your true domain, your love and kindness and will, God, your righteousness, peace and joy that I will have for eternal state one day in heaven. Please, I want that in this moment. But he needs partners. He needs to partner with us. So the kingdom of God comes partially as we, the saints, partner with his truth. The truth of what? The truth of his word. Bernard jumps into the word. We need to know what the word says. We need to partner with what the Logos, what Jesus said, who he is. We partner with that. And in those moments, we call forth in prayer. And then we trust for the manifestation of partial manifestation of his kingdom to come. Does that make sense, guys? Does it excite you? Is it just an odd thing? Yes. Okay, we're going to questions. Great. Amen. 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 What is this? It's a ring. I'm married. Now, the ring on Edna's finger, she's got one, was also an engagement ring. Now, what in the spiritual sense is the engagement ring? If you should spiritually just think, Jesus Christ came, we're going to get married. Us as the bride, we're going to get married to Jesus one day, being the perfect bridegroom. Now, if you should say that you've been given an engagement ring, what do you think it would be? A guarantee that I will get married to you. Just think, all of you guys that are spirit-filled believers have already received an engagement ring. What is it? Salvo? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is made, yes, you can't get it without salvation, so you both are right. But it's the Holy, not as right as bad enough, but this is church, we all, right, it's a graceful bunch. But it's the Holy Spirit. So what am I sensing? I'm sensing that tranquility, I'm sensing that peace, I'm sensing that righteousness and that joy that I'm going to have when I get eternally married to the perfect bridegroom. I have it in partial measure. I want it in permanent state. I guess there's some amazing guys of the people of the Lord that has walked in a more permanent state of that partiality than some others. Question is this: how much do you want to? How much do you choose to? How much will you obey to walk in that permanent state? Getting back to the engagement ring, that's what he's imparted in us. He said that we're going to get married. When I gave Edna her engagement ring to her, she didn't put it in her pocket. Unfortunately, we've got Christians walking around living like this with their engagement rings either in the cubbyhole, in the car, or next to the basin in the bathroom, but not on their finger. Why am I saying this? Where is the evidence that you are engaged to your groom? The kingdom comes. This isn't, I don't know, you should have asked that question because God is onto something here. It's not part of the notes, hallelujah. But we need to wear our engagement ring. The manifestation of the promise of the fulfillment of the kingdom one day needs to be here right now. We've got a choice. Are you going to put it on? Are you going to ask and walk with him in obedience to the word and in prayer, in relationship? Are you going to manifest the gifts of the Spirit firstly, and then also the fruit of the Spirit, being righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? We just thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. No. To get back to from this rabbit trail is going to be a move and a half. Thank you, Father. Fourth remark I just want to make concerning the scripture. We just quickly read. You don't have to go back. I'm just going to read it. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We said to each other that we want to all see the kingdom and the kingdom come daily. That's in fact part of the Lord's Prayer. The way in which we do it or see it is not in the way in which the world will see a kingdom. It's not a geographical place. It's not a physical place. It's a spiritual place. And it sometimes mostly happens within our hearts. And it gets manifested through the Holy Spirit, the ring that was given to us. And the next remark I wanted to make is that the kingdom is always at reach by faith. You get saved by faith. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Then by God's grace, manifestations come. Otherwise, we would have just walked around here saying, I'm saved. I've got the Holy Spirit, but there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever. By God's grace, He manifests His Spirit through us. The gifts of the Spirit and, obviously, righteousness, peace, and joy. We need to obtain all of this. We need to obtain the kingdom of God by faith. Let's look at scripture. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. the kingdom of heaven is near. So it's not a matter of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God being far. We're going there one day, but it's something that is here tangibly close to us, and we obtain it by faith. I hope, just a sense of my spirit, we're not all on the same page on this, but just come on, just focus, and let's just extend ourselves just to grab hold of this. Second scripture that comes to mind. I assure you, he said, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's humility that's needed, repentance that is needed. And then Matthew 4:17, it's on there. From time to time, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. They were waiting for a kingdom all those years, amazing prophecies. They were waiting for the Messiah, the one that will become the king, the one that will rule and reign. But it came in a different form. And it came near, but they needed to grab hold of it by faith. And still to this day, we do that. And then the kingdom of God, I see my fifth remark there, is that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ is the same thing, so that we don't get all democrat. Just looking at Scripture, Ephesians 5:5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, I just threw that scripture in there, not to speak about the sins in particular, but just to say it is the kingdom of Christ and God. If ever you should think, well, if it's the kingdom of God and it's out there, what about the kingdom of Christ? No, it is the same kingdom. If my Father's kingdom come, my kingdom comes. If my Son's kingdom comes, me as being the Father's kingdom come. Last remark just on that scripture, and we move on to close. The reign of God is exercised through His Spirit in our lives. I'm not going to regurgitate that, because I believe what we said about the ring is so important. You want the kingdom of God to come? Walk in the Spirit. You want to see the kingdom of God being made manifest in your life? Walk by the Spirit of the Lord. Walk by the Spirit of the Lord. We've been called not on Sundays and Wednesdays to, or maybe just in a quick time with the Lord this morning, have a moment with the Holy Spirit. We've been called as sons of God to walk by the Spirit. And if you walk by the Spirit, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? The things that defines the kingdom of God. Can an unbeliever, somebody without the Holy Spirit, have the kingdom of God? God can graciously bring salvation and redemption, and from that moment, yes, they can. But otherwise, we're unfortunately blinded to it. Our hearts are closed off. If we're unbelieving, have not received Jesus Christ, have not received the Spirit, we're unfortunately blind to the kingdom of God. Do you have family members that think that you're a bit too much? The church is a bit over the top, this Christianity thing, you may be taking it a bit too far. You're seeing things that they think you're just a bit weird. Anybody like this, or is it just me? 2.5 of us. Great stuff. It's changed the world. No, but unfortunately, or fortunately, it's not a matter of judging, it's just a matter of, by God's grace, He's opened up your eyes to see the things of the kingdom. Cool. So we seek first the kingdom of God. We're ending off. Let's stay afloat. We're seeking the kingdom of God. We know it's not a literal kingdom. It's not a place. It's a place where God reigns. It's a moment in which God's will is done in my heart. It's a moment where heaven, the heavenly reality, comes and partially comes and hits us in a moment. We understand that it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I like to make things practically. Let's take me back to my example earlier with Ralph. I said, what is the kingdom of God? Or how would you obtain the kingdom of God? Or have you been seeking the kingdom of God? And he might tell me, hey, Ratif, I've really been seeking, but I have no clue what it looks like. How do I recognize it? Now, we've touched on this in between our discussions earlier, but how do I recognize when I actually see the kingdom? Very obviously, you'll recognize that the kingdom has come when you see the king. So beautifully, Stephen said this morning in intercession, not knowing what I'm going to preach about, he said he just believes that the people will see Christ, that the people need to see Christ. How will I see the kingdom? if I see the king? How will I see the kingdom? I just need to see the king. Luke 17:20 says, being asked by the Pharisees, remember the Pharisees? They were the believers of the time, the church folk of the time. When the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, listen closely, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is. Look, here it is. Or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Say, in my midst. The kingdom of God is in your midst. The sad thing is, the Pharisees, as I said, were the religious folk of the day. They're the ones that said, we've got the answer. They're the ones that said that the king will come, the Messiah will come. And they were, in fact, on the lookout to see the kingdom, king. And now they ask, when will and how will the kingdom of God come? And he stands there amongst them. And he says, the irony is killing me. No, he didn't say that. That's my own words. But he maybe thought that. And he said, well, the sad reality is the kingdom is not going to come in the way that you think it's observable. The kingdom is already in your midst. And I just pray that God opens up our eyes, because you know what? The kingdom is constantly in our midst and we miss it. I can't chuckle about the Pharisees. I so often miss the kingdom just in my midst. Lord, may we not miss it. So you'll see the kingdom, you'll recognize the kingdom if you recognize the king. I'm not going to read the whole Isaiah 61, but I believe that you not only see the kingdom come when you see the king, but you see his mandate being fulfilled. What does that mean? When you see his fruit, why did Jesus come? To mend the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to preach the good news of the gospel. You'll see the kingdom come when somebody is delivered demonically. When somebody gets healed, when somebody gets counseled and gets restored, where their heart gets made new, there the kingdom has come. Where God brings providence to somebody that has desperate need. Be on the lookout for Isaiah 61 made manifest amongst us. There the kingdom is coming. How can I partner with the kingdom? To say, Holy Spirit, that anointing you gave, that rest, that mandate you gave Christ, please give it to me. We're going to skip, don't have it on there, Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority, say all authority, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Listen closely, guys. We're almost done. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. There's so much in here concerning the kingdom. We need not fear because we're loved. We need also not fear. Why? Because we've been given authority by our king. We've lost the authority in Eden. Jesus has to come down as God to come and restore. Come and get back the keys of Hades. Come and get back the authority. And then he says to his disciples before he goes off, he says, all authority. The picture has been restored. The world has been restored. All authority has been given back to man. That which Adam lost, Jesus got back. He now is our king. We are part of his kingdom. Now, Steve, why is this world looking the way it is if that is truly the case? I want to humbly say to you guys, it is not the king's fault, but it's those that follows him. Don't want to use the word fault even, but the ball is in our hands. All authority has been given to him. Accordingly, all authority has been given to us, but we need to actively walk in it. Why is the devil then still performing and having authority in certain areas? Just because of people committing to his lies. People come in agreement with his lies. You are sick. You are going to die. Okay. Authority gone.
you are sick, you're going to die. Let me just check with the Word of God. Let me just check with Jesus. Let me just check with the one that's granted and given back the authority. Let me just check with the King. King, what does your Word say? What does the testimony in my brothers and sisters' life say about this? Oh, no, excuse me, I'm just coming back. No, we don't have any agreement. I'm not going to be sick and I'm not going to die. Thank you very much. I'm not going to take your call. The partiality of the kingdom coming in this age is not because Jesus didn't complete the job. It's because we're not working in the fullness of the kingdom yet. If we, just a bunch of us, if we constantly walked by love and grace, I don't want to let this sound religious, but if we constantly, daily, 24/7, walked in the Spirit of God, it would be heaven on earth. Why does God say to us, seek first the kingdom of God? This is why. And even if I may see it partially in my life, just imagine what we can impart to our kids. Just imagine the head start that they can start with. That the truth of Matthew 28, that the full authority has been given to God, to Christ in heaven and on earth. And that through relationship with the Word, in prayer and in community, they can actually walk in the fullness of the kingdom. Just imagine the fruit. And then one day, He'll come back. And then one day, the fullness of the kingdom will come. What a glorious day that will be. What a glorious day that will be. But may we never be found as a people just saying that, I've got my ticket, I'm just waiting out my time. What goes after saying, I've given you authority, what? To have a blessed life? To chill it out, to have a blessed... No, He said, to what? To go out. To go what? Make disciples. To go see redemption and salvation come to the nations. So by God's Spirit, not by Retief, I just want God just to stir our hearts so that we can partner with that and partner with Him. Will you stand with me? We can skip the rest and I just want to pray. Just believe. Let His kingdom come. Just apologies for the couple of extra minutes we've taken today. Write that off to the kingdom, because I believe it will come. Very simply, if you want to see the frequency of the partiality of the kingdom evidence in your life to become more frequent, that the manifestation of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and all of the things that Christ has done in the Word made manifest in your life, if you want to more oftenly see that, if you want to grow in that, just raise your hand. We're just going to pray for God's anointing. Lord, we just thank You for these hands, and we just say, Lord, we say yes. That's all we can say. We can only say yes. In our brokenness and in our need, we can just say yes. Because the one that is unbroken, the one that has no need, lives inside of us. But we come and we humbly lay our lives before You. We say, Lord, we've had pockets of Your kingdom come in our lives, in our children's lives, in our family, and even in our church. We just say, more, Lord. Please, more, Lord. We just say more, Lord. For some of us, that might be obedience in serving. For some of us, it might be obedience to get stuck into the Word. For some of us, it might be just to grow relationally and get God to love on you. For some of us, it might be being discipled by someone or even going out to disciple someone else. It is different for different people. But thank You, God, we want to see Your kingdom come. We want to see the fullness of Your kingdom come in our lives. And then we lift up the next generation. We lift up the next generation in our church, and we ask God that Your kingdom will come more frequently and in its fullness through Your Spirit and through Your Word in the next generation that You've granted and given and blessed us with by Your grace. lastly, we just say thank you, Holy Spirit, that you grant us righteousness, peace, and joy. Make us discern when we are not in that place. And then give us the knowledge, the grace, to know why we're not there. This is very practical, guys. It's very practical. But I pray that you'll make us, our heart sensitive, our spirit sensitive, to know, man, I'm not in right standing. I'm not in the peace, and I'm not having the joy of the Holy Spirit. I'm not operating with the kingdom now. Holy Spirit, why? We just ask that you grant all of us, everybody in this church community, just practical, day-to-day practical help to walk in the kingdom of light and not in the kingdom of darkness. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you very much.